Do we have any prayer requests?
And we gotta pray for the people in Florida, which your sister is right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got an aunt who's present in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over the people in Florida. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to keep the damage and the injuries to a minimum. Father, we ask you that the people that couldn't evacuate, Father, that you'll put a supernatural protection over them. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus for this mess to come to an end. Satan, we command you that you cease and desist in your operations against this country. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to cover this country with your favor and your blessing and cause all people to look to you, to turn to you and pray. And Father, we thank you for this, that you will heal our land. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we ask, Father, that you keep slowing the storm down before it gets
windfall. It did slow down.
Down
to a 30 now. Yeah. It was 150 or something. Now it's down a little bit. But.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Any more prayer request? Okay, we'll continue on with our study on covenants. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel for those days, after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now we talked about Abraham's covenant last Wednesday, and that was the first covenant to include all that pertains to life and godliness. You know, this was a good deal. And Abraham, he didn't get down in there and walk around in the halves of them animals. But the Bible tells us that there was a torch and a smoking pot that walked in them. And that was God, the Father, and Jesus. See, Jesus is the only one that could have walked in them pieces. If Abraham would have got down there and walked around in there, he'd have been toast. You know, none of this would have come to pass. Jesus is the only one that could have fulfilled that walk. Now, we call this the new covenant, and it's still with Abraham. It is still with Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, we'll look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Abraham is the father of faith, isn't he? Didn't we discover that last Wednesday or the Wednesday before? Look down to verse 17. It says, this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. See, just because they got to Mount Sinai and God gave him the law, that doesn't mean that his covenant with Abraham went away. See, that it didn't stop. That covenant kept going. That covenant was still in effect. Some people decided that they were going to become righteous by the works of the law. And that didn't work. See, Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Now look down to verse 29. If you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So once you get born again, you belong to Christ. Once you get born again, you belong to Christ. And the Bible tells us right there that you're Abraham's seed. That means you made a decision to be a part of that covenant that God cut with Abraham. The minute you got born again. And it also made you heirs according to the promise. So what did Abraham have? Well, he had a lot of camels, and he had a lot of gold, silver, and he had a lot of sheep. But this is a curious thing. Melchizedek came down and met him after the battle of the kings, slaughter of the kings. And he said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." Well, that pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? That's certainly going to cover everything that pertains unto life and godliness. That's what you fell heir to. So now you can understand why God had it put down in the Bible that said, He has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. The minute you got born again, that full covenant of blessing came on you. So why are we not walking in it? See, Jesus said a curious thing. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." See, this is a powerful thing that he said. And the more we learn of Jesus, the more we're going to learn what he did for us. We're going to learn more about what he gave to us. We're going to learn more about what we have in this covenant. Then it becomes our responsibility to receive it. See, as far as God is concerned, he's given it to you. He prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. This table is loaded with everything that you need. And some things that you want. See, did you know that you don't need a car? I mean, you really don't need a car to survive. I've known a lot of people that didn't have a car and are still alive. But God would want you to have a car. Here's the thing I've noticed. I've seen quite a few people show up. You know, they come out of nothing and they show up in church and they get born again. They get a hold of the blessing. They start getting a hold of the Word of God. They start learning about the blessing, and then they start chasing the blessing. See, at first they're chasing Jesus because he's the only one that can save them. And somehow they see something shiny that they want, and they start chasing the blessing. And pretty soon that's all they have a focus for is the blessing. And they want that blessing so much. I've seen it in the Word of Faith circles quite a bit. They want to look like they're blessed so they fit in. So they go buy a new house and they go buy a new car and they buy a new toy and they come in and say, "Look how blessed I am." Oh, did God give that to you? Yeah, really. How much do you owe on it? Well, I owe $100,000 on the pickup. And God didn't give it to you, did he? See, that's a dangerous trap. Don't fall into that. God, he can get it to you and he will get it to you. But we need to make sure that we don't birth an Ishmael on the way to getting our promise. And see, that's what happens to a lot of people. They load themselves down with debt until they really can't go do anything other than work. You know, if they don't work, they're not going to have enough money to make the house payment, pickup payment, this payment, that payment, whatever else kind of payment. I've seen it a lot of times. That's not the blessing. You know, debt's a curse. Debt's a curse. You actually, the borrower is a servant unto the lender. Now this, go back up here to Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. Long time ago, I remember there was a guy up home, and I knew him, and I always wondered about him. He always drove an old pickup, and he was happy. And I asked my brother grew up with him, and I said, "What's this guy about?" And he said, "Oh, he's a millionaire." I said, "You got to be kidding me. He drives an old pickup everywhere he goes." And he says, "That's why. He pays cash for absolutely everything he's ever bought. He's paid cash for. And he's a millionaire." I've known a couple people like that. Verse 17 says, "This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect." See, that covenant with Moses, it did not do away with Abraham's covenant. Some would think that. Some would think that we had this covenant of grace, and then Moses showed up, and then we ended up with the covenant of law, and then Jesus showed up, and we ended up back in the covenant of grace. No, that covenant of grace did not go away. It didn't go away. Some people just chose to live by the law. You know, they actually told Moses to go ask God what he required them to do in order for them to be righteous before him. So he said, "Okay, here's the Ten Commandments." You know what the first thing they did? They broke the Ten Commandments. The very first thing they did, they made a golden calf. I always think about this. Every time I think about the law. See, Paul said, "Without the law, I didn't know there was sin." See, the sin gets its strength from the law. The law, by the way, is holy, just, and good. You need to know that. The law is holy, just, and good, but it won't do one thing to make you or help you be holy, just, and good. My friend has a fishing pond just a few miles out of town, and his dad told everybody, he said, "Go out there and catch these fish. There's too many fish in this pond. You got to go catch them and get them out of there." And he told everybody. And nobody would go fishing. So he put a no fishing sign on the gate, and he couldn't keep them out of there. they were in there all the time. Why? You know, people are going to break the law. Have you noticed if you tell a little kid not to do something, that's almost like baiting him into doing that. But if you talk to him about something, a lot of times you can reason him out of it. You can teach him about it. How many times have you been told not to go outside in the rain, you'll catch a cold? That I've heard that forever. And finally, I got so tired of that, and that got to running through my head one time, and I said, no, I've had it. I have had it with this. I took my shoes off, my socks off, and I went outside and stood in the rain. I said, I am not going to catch a cold because I'm in the rain. See, we don't have to live by these old wives' tales. We don't have to live by the curses that people spoke over us. See, getting a cold would be part of the curse, wouldn't it? No. Tell a little kid, don't run out into the street, you'll get ran over. Why can't you just talk to him about this? Say, you know, you really need to look both ways. There's cars coming. Kids are smarter than you think. And if they actually see you do something, they'll do it. I thought, we know when Anastasia came to live with us, I thought, this is just crazy. I have no business being around a little kid. I just didn't. I thought, this is terrible. She ended up being with me a lot. And I thought, I don't know if we're even having an effect on her. And then one day her teacher called, said, Anastasia's little friend fell out of some kind of a thing at the playground, and she was knocked out, hurt. And everybody was saying, don't touch her, don't touch her. And Anastasia ran up to her and started praying for her. And I thought, wow. So she was watching. She was watching what we did. She just copied us. See, little kids are going to do what you do. They're not going to necessarily do what you say. Now, Jesus' blood concluded the old covenant. Look at Matthew chapter 26. You know, Jesus finished the old covenant. He concluded it. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of that thing. He didn't leave one part of it out. He fulfilled all righteousness. Matthew 26, verse 27. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament. That's the New Covenant. Which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, go all the way down here to verse 39. He went a little farther, fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, that little prayer right there that Jesus prayed is a prayer of consecration. Now, He had a perfect right to pray that prayer because nobody had ever done what he was about to take on. Nobody. And he said, if it be thy will. Here's the thing. People take stuff out of context and they try to use it in their everyday world. And it's just a cop-out. See, there's Christians that are running around. They'll pray for something, and they'll say, if it be thy will. And then if nothing happens, and they say, oh, it wasn't God's will. And you know what? If you're praying for healing, guess what? It is God's will for you to be healed, and you have absolutely no business praying, if it be thy will. See, you either need to know what God said or you need to just not pray it. And it really bugs me when I see preachers pray that prayer. If it be thy will. He wrote it down. He wrote it down exactly what he wanted you to have. He wants you to have prosperity. He wants you to have health. He wants you to have peace of mind. He wants you to be sound. He wants you to be well taken care of. He wants you to be safe. That's his will. Our job is to thank him for it. Find out what he wrote down in this will that he gave you. The New Testament, we call it the New Testament all the time. That's his will. That's what he gave to us. You know, when somebody passes away and they leave a will, that means they're giving their possessions to somebody else. And a lot of times they'll have a testator for that will. A lot of times there'll be a lawyer that'll be there to make sure that, you know, Junior gets this, and Sally gets this, and whoever else gets this, and grandkids get this. They'll make sure it all gets doled out where it's supposed to go. But Jesus died, and he came back to life, and he is the testator of this will. That means he's there to make sure that his will gets done in your life. Our job is to receive it. You know, you can't earn it. Did you know you can't earn something that's given to you? You can't earn it. And people are working for the blessing all the time, and they're supposed to be receiving it. Think about that for just a little bit. And Jesus gave us the secret key to receiving. When he got to Lazarus' tomb, he said, "Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayers. Thank you that you always hear me." And then Lazarus came forward. He thanked his way into a miracle. So when somebody gives you something, say your boss gives you a raise, what do you do? Say thank you, don't you? I mean, you would be a fool if you said, "Well, you should give me a raise. I worked for you for 5 months." And I've only been late 3 times. You'd be foolish to say that, wouldn't you? But you just thank him. When somebody gives you something, you thank him. And you receive it. See, God has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. It would be a good thing for us to thank him, even for the things that aren't in our possession. Remember, you got to believe it before you receive it, right? You got to call things that aren't as though they are. So that maybe you don't feel so good. But you know that God has already given you healing in Jesus. And the Bible says that he sent his word and it healed them. So instead of begging God to heal us, why don't we just say, "Thank you, Father, for healing me." Thank him for the things that he's already given you. You'll receive them a lot faster. Now, you know, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. You know, I talked about this just a second ago. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Did you know that he didn't spread a new table out? That table was part of the Abrahamic covenant. See, David knew he had a covenant with God. He knew. He looked at it even different than anybody else. A lot of other people that were looking at the regulations and laws, and I believe Jesus had his, or David had his Savior in his mind. I think David was believing on Jesus. But in Psalms it says that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, he didn't make a new table when Jesus got here. That table is the one that has always been here. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." You know, Jesus became our Passover. You know, there's every feast that he has fulfilled. You know, you look back at the old feast that the Jewish people were supposed to celebrate and make sure they did all these. Jesus fulfilled those. There's the Rosh Hashanah, I believe, is the next one that needs to be fulfilled. And we're in that time of year. We'll see how it goes. It's the Feast of Trumpets. And I just think that we're so close to breaking into a whole new dispensation. The world is just going through such a shaking. You know, everything is changing. Have you noticed the whole universe is changing? You know, even the planets are changing. You know, some of them are getting cooler. Some of them are losing density. Some of them are losing the atmosphere. Look what's happening to this planet. Floods and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars, and all the enemies of Israel are surrounding Israel right now. If you don't feel in your spirit that something big is about to change, I don't know what else I can do for you. Something huge is right around the corner. You know, we talked about this, you know, when we did the study on the four blood moons. You know, when those blood moons coincided with the Feast of Israel, I said there's going to be something huge happening. And Obama was still the president. And I was right. Humongous thing. Huge thing. World changing. The whole world is changing before our eyes. Since that Tetrad of Four Blood Moons. Did any of you buy that book and read it? It is a good book. What's the German guy down there in San Antonio, the big time pastor down there. Can't remember his name. Yeah, Hagee. That guy. He wrote that book. You know, he didn't believe in any of that stuff until an astronomer went and talked to him about what he was seeing, because this guy had been studying the Bible and been keeping track of the planets and all this stuff lining up. And he said, just give me 15 minutes. So he went and talked to him. And after he talked to him for 15 minutes, John Hagee went and wrote a book called Four Blood Moons. You know, that guy lives right here in town. He does. He lives right here in town. Yeah, Gary.
Oh, okay.
He's been keeping track of the Bible, timelines, what's going on with the planets, the stars. You know, one thing Christians kind of got kind of cheated out of a lot of stuff because people got confused between astrology and astronomy. And they said, well, you're not supposed to be looking at signs. You're a Christian, you're not supposed to be looking at signs. And the Bible says, well, the Jews seek a sign. But here's the thing. Paying attention to what's going on in your universe is not looking for a sign. That's paying attention to what's going on with the planet. Paying attention to what's going on in Israel is not looking for a sign. That's paying attention to what's going on. And biblical history will tell you that you should pay attention to these things. See, we're going into this thing, you know, we're in this covenant, and he's going to bring us through to a whole new freedom. And we're going to have to cling to this covenant. We're going to have to cling to Jesus with everything we got. You know, I mean, there's going to be some people that are going to be shaken to their very core. You know, the Bible said in the end times, men's hearts would fail them of fear. Let's look. Well, since Jesus is our Passover, what was the good thing about the Passover? You know, when they instituted the Passover, God told everybody to take a lamb for a household, go inside, and they would butcher this lamb, and they'd roast that lamb, and they'd eat him all, but they were to take blood and put that blood on the header of the door and on the doorposts. And everybody whose house had that was under the blood, the angel of death passed over. See, when you get born again, you get under the blood. But I've told you a lot of times that you should plead the blood of Jesus. And if you're uncertain about something, you should plead the blood of Jesus. If you don't understand something, you should plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is one of your biggest protections. Now, his blood ratified the new covenant. Remember, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Every time we take communion, that's his blood of the new covenant. You're partaking of the new covenant promises. And he wants you to remember this covenant. See, this was not just a sacrifice. This is the fulfilling of the covenant, of the whole thing. God started with Abraham. It took him a long time. And I don't know how many prophecies are in the Bible talking about Jesus before he got here, but the odds of all these things happening and the way they happen are astronomical. I mean, nobody, even the Jews, couldn't figure out how this could possibly be. He said he's a Nazarene. They couldn't accept that. Just think of all these things that God did to get Jesus here to fulfill his promise. It's amazing. It's even above amazing. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us every day. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go into this new time that we're heading into, that you'll help us to be led by the Holy Spirit. Father, that we'll be able to hear him clearly and be solid and understand that Jesus is right here with us because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.